I'm going to do a very, very brief recap, very, very brief, and then I'm going to minister really briefly tonight on this last part of our teaching that I've called Determination for Increase. Before that, I want to do a little bit of a recap. You do remember we have learned a number of things. I want to say to you before I go there to that recap, keep in mind, increase is a right of God's covenant children. Increase is a right of God's covenant children. So you ought to determine that no matter what happens, you will increase. You're not going to stop pushing until increase becomes a reality in your life. So be determined, but don't act desperate. Don't let the adversary see you panic. Don't let him see you sweat. But be determined. Be determined that you are going to get everything that the Lord has for you. You are not satisfied with the status quo. You are not satisfied with little. You are going to grow. You are going to increase. God is going to enlarge your course so that your life can be significant and so that the Lord can use you to impact many other lives in your generation. That's what it's all about. It's all about us working in partnership with God to live significant lives on this earth, to impact other lives, to make a difference, to make a change, and to move somebody else's life forward. And you know what? As you do that, as you commit to doing that with the increase that the Lord gives you, you will keep on moving forward. You will keep on enlarging. You will keep on growing. And that cycle just goes on and on like that. That's cycle of seed, time, and harvest. Every time you sow a seed into somebody's life, because God provided you with that seed, you know, the Bible says he gives seed to the sower. When you make an impact and you make a difference in somebody's life, guess what? That seed produces a harvest, not just in that person's life or in that situation, but it also produces a harvest in your own life. And then guess what happens next? Now you have this huge harvest out of one seed, and now you have so many more seeds that you can actually use to go back again to sow, to invest in other people's lives. Of course, while you are doing all of that too, you are doing other things that the Lord has given you, investing, spiritually investing in the kingdom of God, but also investing in natural things, in business, in different opportunities, some of which we have already talked about. But as you do that and you go back and put out more seeds, and you're not eating up all of your seed just for yourself or by yourself, but you are actually going out to make a difference in people's lives, guess what? The Lord keeps enlarging you. You will never know smallness. You will never, ever know smallness. The limitations that come to people that that trap them, that stifle them, that dry them up, will never be your portion. Why? Because you are in that covenant flow. You are in that supernatural increase, that supernatural increase covenant flow. And I encourage you to make that a reality in your life in Jesus' name. So praise the Lord. We've learned a number of things. We have talked about God's will is to increase us. It is the will of God for us to increase. And no matter where we are today, God has more. God has greater. He has bigger. You may feel like you are really stretched right now, like, well, with some of the stuff you are doing, you've never really done before. That's great. But don't imagine for a minute that that's the best that God has for you. God still has a higher place. He still has a greater thing that he wants to do through you. Amen. So keep in mind, nothing just happens. We've talked about the power of knowledge. So keep growing in knowledge. Your knowledge of increase, knowledge of avenues for increase, knowledge of the opportunities that God will provide you for increase. Those are really, that's the vessel that you give to the Lord. And that vessel determines how much increase God can pour into your life. I really very strongly believe in that we ought to be giving God multiple vessels. I know we talked a lot about that last week when we discussed actions of increase. But we all ought to be giving God, nothing you do in your life should be just, well, that's just the one thing that you pursue, or that's just the one thing that that's a line of income for you, or that's just the one thing, one area or one avenue where you are exerting and where you are investing your resources. Nothing you do. Remember, I was thinking about this the other day. When he started out his ministry, I mean, he was anointed. He was powerful. He could have done his ministry, his earthly ministry, all by himself. I mean, he had the Holy Spirit. He had everything he needed. He came into my spirit. Well, why did he take time to actually go out and look for 12 people? Why did he go out and call 12? And these 12 people he called were not really nothing. They were not, like, they didn't have much. I mean, just naturally speaking, they had, but they didn't know that they had what God could use. And the Lord called these 12 people, and he started filling them with his word, filling them with vision, filling them with direction, with instruction, with wisdom. And before you know it, the time came and the Lord said, you know what, I've been going out and I've been taking all of you. Now I want you guys to go out on my behalf. I'm going to send you out. But think about it for a minute. Even when he sent them out, he didn't send them out one by one. He could have done that. He could have done that. He could have said, okay, I anoint you. You go there. You anoint you. You go over there. No, the Bible says he sent them in twos. And then, you know, then he went out and called like 70 other disciples and 70 other people, trained them again, and then sent them out again in twos. Have you ever wondered, why is it he does that? I mean, we don't know all the reasons why, but I can definitely tell you for sure, multiple is better. There is strength in numbers. If it's the right numbers, there is strength in what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. There's a reason for that. You can get much more done with partnership than you can get done by a solo run. So in the same way, I want you to think, where every time you think of yourself, think of your life, think of your future, I want you to think in multiple terms. I don't want you just thinking in singular, you know, just one thing, what. No. Always think in multiple terms. Think, how many more vessels can we give God? In everything you do, think about it that way. How many more vessels can we give God? Why do we have to limit God by giving him only one vessel here? How many more vessels can we make available to him? Amen. And the more vessels you give the Lord, the easier it is for increase to come into your life. All right. We've talked about all the different areas in which the Lord has planned and prepared increase for us. God says you don't have to be small no more. You don't have to be small no more. Now, of course, increase doesn't happen in isolation. We've talked about the place of joy. If you don't prioritize joy in your life and you allow the enemy to keep stealing your joy, then the enemy will shut you down. He will stop you from being able to enter into the increase that the Lord has for you. Joy is actually a requirement for increase. And worry, things like worry, anxiety, sadness, those are some of the things that the enemy sends into our lives to steal from us, to try to deprive us and deny us of everything that the Lord has for us. So make sure you're growing in joy. Make sure you're constantly putting on joy, the joy of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we've also learned about the power of vision. Increase begins usually with vision, what you see. If you can see it with the eyes of your spirit, then the Lord will see to it. We've learned that. And vision sometimes, a lot of times, actually translates into passion. Once you see something in your spirit, in your inner man, once you see something inside of your heart, it's easier to actually develop a passion for that thing. And once you have a passion for that thing, it becomes a quest. It becomes a hunger. And I want to encourage you to be passionate for increase. Again, I don't know, sorry, forgive me if I'm saying it too many times. I think there are too many believers who are satisfied with the status quo. Just want to live an average life. Well, they usually say, no, they are not satisfied with the status quo. But the things they do and the way they act show you that they are really satisfied with the status quo. because they are not really willing to make that stretch that is required to go to the next level. So make sure you are growing in vision, your vision for increase. Don't settle. We've talked a lot about that. Do not settle. Remember, Abraham did not settle. That's one of the reasons we talk a lot about Abraham today. He did not settle. His father, Terah, settled. God called him. He said, let's go over there. But when he got halfway, he settled. And he couldn't go beyond where he had settled. So when you settle, you actually limit the ability of God to increase you. Don't settle wherever you are. Keep pushing. Keep stretching. Keep challenging yourself to move forward. You can always do more. You can always have more. You can always grow more. And that's the will of God for you. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. All right. We've also talked about the enemies of increase, which are the enemies of vision, or the of what we call vision blockers. Those things that stop us from seeing clearly. And one of the most important ones we talked about, strife. We also talked about competitive comparison. When you compare yourself, you're not satisfied and you are not happy with who God made you, you would rather be somebody else. You would never increase that way, because there are peculiar things, gifts, talents, resources that God has invested within you that will help you channel the power of God to enjoy increase in your life. But when you compare yourself and when you compete with other people rather than competing with yourself, you really limit yourself and you limit God. We also talked about procrastination as an evil that stops us from growing. Stops us from seeing clearly, and of course, leaning too much on our minds. Then we talked about instructions for increase. Vision is not enough. It's very important that we receive instructions for increase, and we've talked a lot about that. We spent maybe about three different sessions just talking about the importance of increase, of instructions where increase is concerned. Last week, we talked a lot about actions of increase and talked about the Ecclesiastes 5:3. Where the Bible talks about the multitude of businesses, multitude of transactions, occupations, accomplishments, investments, employment, travel, boarding, exchange, and stuff like that required for increase. So don't just use one. You know, we read last week in Proverbs, I think it was actually Ecclesiastes, where he said, you know, in the morning sow your seed. I think that was Ecclesiastes 11. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, don't withhold your hand. You know, because you don't know which of them will prosper. Then he said, give a portion to seven and another portion to eight. So you don't know which one of them is going to produce the fruits that you are expecting. And we use that to talk about the power of multiple opportunities, the power of multiple investments, multiple businesses. Hallelujah. And I trust God that you are not sitting down folding your hand and say, well, this is all I can do, you know, my situation, my circumstances, I'm so limited. If that's what you do, then you are never really going to increase beyond where you are. But the will of God for you is that you increase. We talked a lot about diligence, why diligence is so important for increase. It's important also for that we get up and go out and create nets and networks for increase. And Jesus talked a lot, and he used people a lot in the area of creating nets and using nets to produce increase. We talked a lot last week about the difference between using just one string of something, one strand of something, versus creating a net, which actually is created by the intersection of talents, intersection of gifts. We talked about how powerful it is that we actually work in partnership with other people who are not necessarily like us. Because many times when we do things and we work with people who see other aspects of things that we don't see, that actually enables us to be able to have increase. If all we do is constantly look for people who agree with us on everything, or people who are satisfied with what we do, and they will do exactly the same thing that we would do, then it's going to be very difficult for God to increase us. The intersection of dreams, intersection of talents and skills, a lot of times gives us the network that we need to be able to receive increase. Finally, we talked about doing, the place of doing, right? It's not just hearing, it's doing, being diligent, going out and doing it. It's the doers of the word. The Bible says in James, it's the doers of the word that are blessed, not just the hearers. Praise God. All right. Let's say a couple of things here about determination for increase as we get ready to close this out tonight. What does it mean to be determined? What does it mean to be determined? Now, why is it important that we are determined to start with? One of the most important reasons why as believers we need to be determined is because when we get up to pursue something, when we get up to pursue increase, there's going to be a lot of roadblocks, a lot of opposition, a lot of obstacles that are going to be thrown in our way, in our path. And a lot of times, if we quit and if we go back just because of the difficulties that we experience, then we are limited, then we can't really increase. Amen. So it is important that we are determined. It's important that we have determination so that regardless of what we experience on our way, we keep on rolling. We keep on moving. We keep on pushing. Amen. The dictionary defines determination as reaching a decision. I like that phrase. It says you are determined when you have reached a decision, or when you are firmly resolved about something, or when you are decisive, when you are bent on, you've heard the expression hell bent on something, when you are purposeful, when you are resolute, when you are single-minded about something. I really love it because determination means I have made a decision that no matter what happens, I have to have increase. Increase is my right as a covenant child of God. I understand God is not holding increase back from me. I understand the devil does not have the power to stop increase from coming into my life. So I am really the one who determines whether or not increase eventually comes into my life is a product of my determination. So I have made the decision that I will increase. How about you? Amen. I have reached a decision. I have firmly resolved it. I'm decisive about it. I will increase. Of course, the opposite of being determined is to waver, to vacillate, to be weak-kneed, to be double-minded. And you know what the Bible says about double-mindedness. In James 1, 6 to 8, you remember? It says that a double-minded man, so well, whatever it is you ask of the Lord, you must ask in faith. That means he's talking there about determination, and he's talking there about steadfastness, about being resolved, being resolute. He says, because a double-minded man, he says, whoever is not resolved like that, they waver like the billows. They waver like the waves of the sea. They are double-minded. And he says, if we're double-minded, like you get up one morning and say, I'm believing God for increase. I'm going to go. I'm going to give it everything. I'm going to go for increase, no matter what. And then you start going, and after 2 weeks, man, I don't know about this increase. You know, I mean, this is just, I mean, this is tough, man. Why is this thing so difficult, you know? And then you start repeating all the negative words that the devil has been putting in your ears for 2 weeks that you have been refusing to accept. Suddenly, all those words start coming out of your mouth. Well, guess what happens? You are double-minded now. Before long, you are going to go back to where you started from, because that determination has been sapped away from us. Amen. But when we like the psalmist, like the prophet said, I set my face like a flint. I think that's Isaiah 50. I set my face like a flint, like a hard rock. That is, I'm determined. And you will see a lot of the people who enjoyed the blessing of determination, even in the scriptures, were people who did because they set their face like a flint. That they were not going to turn around. They were not going to go back. They were going to get everything that the Lord had for them. Remember Moses. You remember the story of Moses, right? Moses heard no from Pharaoh 13 times. Moses, in spite of the fact that he heard the Lord say to him, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. When he went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said no to Moses 13 times. 13 times. Think about that for a minute. Count that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Thirteen times he heard no, before he finally heard yes. And when he heard yes, it was in the middle of the night. That man said that that Pharaoh. He said, "Just go, just pack everything and go quickly, quickly, get out of my sight." He gave them that order, that decree, in the middle of the night. So can you imagine if they were not ready for that yes? Many times we're not, because we've heard no so many times. We become so conditioned to expecting that no. We get to that point where we're like, I guess forget it. No, but when you are expectant and you are determined to have yes, regardless of how many times you have had no, even if that yes comes in the middle of the night, you are ready to pack up and go for it. You are ready because you already had your bags packed. Like, we're getting this increase. So no matter how unconventional it appears when it happens, we're going to go get it because we're ready. We're determined looking for it. Amen. Remember that Moses heard this no 13 times, not because he was doing something wrong. Sometimes the enemy tries to convince us about that. I've seen that so many times. I've heard so many believers talk about that so many times in their frustration. They've talked about, many times people come and they say, "But what could I be doing wrong?" So people say that a lot. And sometimes Christians would even say something like, "But why me? Why is it my own case? I see God doing this for that. I see him increasing that one. I see he gives miracle to the other one. Why is it me? Why is it me? What have I done? What am I doing wrong?" And then once you open that door, before long, then the devil starts whispering in your eyes, in your ears. "Oh, you forgot? You forgot quickly what you did? You forgot what you did?" Remember, Moses heard no 13 times before he heard yes, not because he was doing something wrong, but because someone wrong was trying to stop him. Let me say that to you again. Moses heard 13, he heard no 13 times before he heard a yes, not because he was doing something wrong, but because someone wrong was trying to stop him. That is powerful. This is why it's important that we have determination. Determination is not something that God will blow from heaven and it will blow on your head or my head. No, determination is something that comes from within. Is something that comes from inside of us. That's why many times in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you hear they say, "This person proposing in their spirit." They purpose in their spirit. That's determination. Determination is something that wells up from within us. It's not something somebody put on us, like, "Okay, anoint me with oil for determination." No. It's not going to come to you that way. And if somebody has promised you the gift of determination by the anointing of oil, forget it. It's not going to happen. Right. So keep in mind, Moses heard no 13 times, not before he heard a yes, not because he was doing something wrong, but because someone wrong was trying to stop him. Amen. Amen. And I just love the resolve that a person of God, a child of covenant, can have even when they're hearing no, no, no. I just love the resolve that children of covenant can have that makes them say, "I don't care, you can say no from today until kingdom come, but I'm gonna get my increase. I'm just gonna get And you do remember the story of Jacob, don't you? Look at that. I have a few scriptures there I should show you. I don't want to go all the way to 9 o'clock tonight, but let me show you a couple of scriptures because you should have scriptural basis for what we're discussing tonight. All right, so in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, you remember, the word of God says, Jacob was left alone And he wrestled with a man, he was really an angel who was representing God, until the breaking of the day. And when the angel saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Notice now, he's wrestling with this angel of God, and then the hollow of his thigh, I mean, he gets disabled. He receives disability. I mean, while he's pressing for increase, he didn't do anything wrong. But suddenly now, he's dealing with disability. Look at this now. So he says, the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So you know what that means. And then the angel said, let me go, for the day is breaking. And Jacob said, I will not let you go except you bless me. I love that. I will not let you go unless, and the Amplifier is, unless you declare a blessing upon me. That's increase. You see, remember, Jacob already had the covenant of blessing. Remember in Genesis chapter 28, when Jacob left home and his father had blessed him, his father Isaac blessed him. But on the way, he arrived at this place, Beersheba, and he had this encounter with the Lord in the middle of the night. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm going to bless you. And he caught that same covenant that his grandfather Abraham had with God, that his father Isaac had with God. So he gave him that same covenant. I'm going to bless you. So Jacob already had the covenant of blessing. But here he is now in this moment of this struggle with this angel, with this being. And somehow something told him this being is holding something in his hands that is going to increase you, that is going to bless you. So when the man says, let me go, Jacob, I'm not going to let you go. What do you call that? I call that determination. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Well, was the man angry? Did the man curse him out? No. The man said, what is your name? And Jacob said, my name is Jacob, supplanter, trickster, schemer, swindler. I mean, he told him all the works, like, you know, really, if you want to know the truth, by my name, I don't qualify for this thing I'm asking you for. But one thing I do know qualifies me is I am determined because I know I am a child of covenant. So, yes, if you ask for my name does not qualify me for what I'm trying to get from you. Forget about that. You want to know about my history? You want to know about what I have done? Let's just not even go there, because I don't qualify. But I tell you how I qualify. I'm a child of covenant, and I am determined to receive the blessing that the Lord has already spoken over me. Well, was the angel angry? No. The angel said unto him, all right, let's deal with your name. Your name will no more be called Jacob, but Israel, prince, a winner. A victor. So that's who we are going to call you. He said, we are going to call you a contender with God. Say, because you have contended with God and you have overcome. And then he went on and he blessed him. And of course, Jacob named the place and said, I've seen God face to face. Look at that. That the power of determination. I'm guessing, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm guessing his father Isaac may have told him a few things about his own experience. I'm just guessing. I don't know this for a fact. But I'm guessing his own father, Isaac, may have told him about a time when there was a famine in the land where he was living. And they went out to dig. He knew he was a child of covenant. They started digging, and by virtue of the blessing of God, they started, his servants found wells of water in a time of famine. And as they were rejoicing and celebrating over these wells of water, guess what? The adversary came. The children of the enemy, they came and they said, oh no, you can't have this. Abimelech's servant. They said, no, well, you can't have it. So they drove them away. So okay, they left it alone. But they didn't say, okay, let's, well, we gave up our blessing, our abundant water, our abundant well in the time of famine. So I guess we will not have that blessing. No, Isaac said, let's keep on digging. This story is in Genesis 26, 17 to 22. If you can write that down, you can take a look at it later. I really don't want to read too many scriptures. as I wrap this up tonight. The Bible says that Isaac kept on digging. Isaac said, let's go dig another well. Let's go dig another one. All right, they took that one. All right, let's go. Why? Because they are determined. They have already made the decision. We are going to increase. They already made that decision. I hope you have made that decision. I hope you are resolved in your heart, firmly resolved, that increase must manifest in your life. I hope you have. Isaac said, let's go dig another one. And the Bible said they kept on digging. Kept digging. They dug another one. They came and took it away. They kept moving, kept digging. Dug another one. They came and took it. Finally, they dug one and the enemies didn't come. And they said, this is Rehoboth. And that was called increase. He said, for the Lord has made room for us in the land and now we'll be fruitful. Rehoboth, that's increase. But how did he get there? Determination. Determination. I'm a child of covenant. I know the Lord has already spoken. That's my portion. My covenant right. I'm a seed of Abraham. And the Lord said he will bless me like he blessed my father Abraham. So I know increase is my covenant right. So I'm not giving up on it. I'm not giving up on it. And let me just say this to you. I don't know how many things you've done where you've come up short. I don't know what you've done where you tried this and you tried that and you failed. It may be relationships. It may be a career. It may be a business. It may be ministry. It may be something else. I don't care what it is. I just want you to know, increase is still on the horizon for you. God has never, ever changed his mind about the increase that has been prepared for you in your future. He has never, ever changed his mind about it. Yes, so I understand that you could have stumbled, you could have fell over, you could have tripped, you could have, different things could have happened, and you could have been disappointed because some of your expectations just have not been fulfilled. But that does not mean that God changed his mind about the increase that he has for you. Now, what is it that is going to keep you going towards that increase? In the face of disappointment, in the face of bad reports, in the face of the enemy working, in the face of different things going on in your life, the one thing that is going to keep you moving towards that increase is determination. Remember now, we saw this with Moses, we're seeing this with Isaac as well. You know, people say, well, why me? What have I done? You know, Isaac could have said, why is it that they keep taking my wealth? Why? What have I done wrong? Why me? Why do I keep losing it? Why does it keep getting taken away from me? Why? How come other people are able to see the end of it? But for me, it's always, you know, I get halfway and then before I know it, it's all gone. Why? What is it about me? What have I done wrong? No. No. It's not you who has done something wrong. It's someone wrong who is trying to stop you. So just have that settled in your mind. Okay? I love what the Bible says about Solomon. I can imagine, remember his father David had tried so hard to build this temple. And he had tried. So I just look real quick for a minute. Quick. Just one verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 1. His father had tried so hard to build this this temple. He tried to build this temple. He even had dialogues with God. God, I want to build this. God said, no, you are not going to build me this temple. No, it's not you. It's going to be your son. Now, I can imagine when Solomon came on the scene, I can imagine in spite of the fact that some preparation was already made for him, he knew he was supposed to get resources and build this temple. I can imagine that things probably started happening that made it seem like he would not be able to build this temple. But the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 1, I love the way the Amplified does it actually. The Amplified, he puts Solomon and determined, both of them in capital letters. I really love it. I love it very much. So if you have an Amplified version, you see that in your Bible. It puts Solomon, that's the very first verse of that chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 1. It says, Solomon determined. Solomon determined to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal capital. Hallelujah. Solomon determined. coming to build a temple. And I said to you, I love it that both Solomon and determined are both in caps, all caps, all caps. I love it for emphasis. Determined, I'm building this temple. Come hell or high water, I'm building this temple. No matter what happens, I'm building this temple. No matter what people say, I'm building this temple. No matter what resources I have or I don't have, I'm building this temple. No matter the difficulties I experience on the way, I'm building this temple. No matter what, I'm building this temple. Solomon determined. Now let's just do something here. How about we put your name there? Instead of Solomon, how about we put your name there? Determined. Kayo, the determined. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am determined to get everything the Lord has for me. I am determined to go as far as the Lord has ordained for me. Nothing is going to stop that. Nothing is going to change that. Hallelujah. If the devil wants, let him walk on his head. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what, if the economy wants to go belly up, no matter what happens in the world, I'm determined, I'm going to get my job. I'm going to get my assignment done. How about you? Are you going to let it depend on other people or other things? Are you going to let it depend on the weather? Are you going to let it depend on things out there? Control? Oh, no. Let's put your name in capital letters, and then let's put determined in capital letters right next to your name. Coyote, determined. Amen. John, determined. Mary, determined. Stella, determined. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love it. You know, I saw this both about Jesus and Paul. Let me show you these two scriptures real quick. I'm going to try to wrap this up in a minute here and close. I got to give you, just as I close this out, a couple of things that help you develop determination. The spiritual, I can call them tools. They're almost like spiritual nuggets. Right? I don't even call them nuggets. Just things that you can put in place that can help you easily produce the grace of determination. I want to show that to you real quick in the scripture. But before then, I want to show you these two. I just caught my attention. There's something about Jerusalem. I don't know what it is really. But when he knew time was up and it was time for him to head back home, I'm talking home to heaven, suddenly he made up his mind, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. Now, exactly the same thing happened with Paul. And for some reason or the other, there were just a number of things that were lined up in their path to try to stop that from happening. Now, I don't know what it was about Jerusalem. Now, we know the relevance of Jerusalem. But for some reason, the Lord said, I've got to go to this, time to go to Jerusalem. And I want you to look at this in Luke chapter 9, real quick, 9 and verse 51. I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible, Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. It says, now when the time was almost come for Jesus to be received up to heaven, he steadfastly and determinedly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Look at that. When the time was almost come for Jesus to be received up to heaven, he steadfastly and determinedly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Obviously, there was something about him going back to Jerusalem. But notice, he steadfastly and determinedly, meaning if he hadn't done that, he may not have made it to Jerusalem. Meaning he may not have accomplished that next phase of his assignment. That's exactly how increase is. When you know all these words, all these instructions, all these revelations the Lord's been giving us, I mean, what's the purpose of it? Isn't it for us to be able to get increase in our lives, for us to be able to get increase and impact and affect lives, affect the kingdom of God, affect the nations, affect our generation, affect our families, our communities? Isn't that why? Well, now you know that in your spirit, and you know increase is your covenant right,
But then what do you do about all these things that are going to try to stop that? And some of those could actually be you, even you, things from within you. But the Bible says that Jesus, he steadfastly and determinedly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I saw exactly the same thing with Paul. Look at Acts chapter 20. Let's wrap this up. Acts chapter 20 and verse 16. Quick. Acts chapter 20 and verse 16. Look at what it says there. Acts chapter 20, verse 16 first, and then we're going to go read verse 22 to 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 16. Look at what it says. It says in verse 16, it says, "For Paul determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost." He determined to sail on past Ephesus, lest he might have spent time unnecessarily in the province of Asia, for he was hastening on so that he might reach Jerusalem, if at all possible, by the day of Pentecost. For some reason, just like Jesus, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he was determined about it. Well, look at verse 22. Look at verse 22, because after when he made his determination, made his mind up, he made his decision, he was resolved, firmly resolved, he was resolute, he was purposeful about it. Well, there's all sorts of things that are coming up. Prophecies started coming, different things, people started saying this, started saying, and he knew some of those people were inspired by the Holy Spirit, saying to him and warning him that there were some things ahead of him, some things were coming. But notice, because he was determined, he made it through. He didn't, he had no way of turning back. He had no way of getting stopped. He had no way of being limited. He made it through in spite of all that was being said. And look at what happened. Look at verse 22. It says, "Now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem." Right? That's where he determined he's going. Right? He says, "Not knowing the things that will befall me," that I don't know what's going to happen, "except that the Holy Spirit has been witnessing and speaking in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions, trouble, problems, await me on this journey." Verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I like that. Because he says, in spite of everything that I've heard, in spite of everything that may be ahead of me. You know, every time you set out, even when you are in the will of God, a lot of things are right out there, right in front of you, to try to stop you. He said, "But in spite of that, none of those things move me. I've made up my mind. I'm determined. I'm going all the way." This is how we need to be with increase. Let's close this out. What makes it easy for us to be determined? Quickly. Yeah, my last scripture here. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's 1 Peter chapter 5. Real quickly, let's close out here. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm going to read this from verse 6 to 9, real quickly in the Amplified. 6 to 9, 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 to 9. It says, "Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant, cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him," look at verse 9, "withstand him, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood throughout the whole world." All of those verses, all of those words you see there are actually words that can be used interchangeably with determined or determination. It says that you be rooted. So to be determined means to be rooted. So you are strong, you are established. You are rooted. You are strong. You are established. You are immovable. Amen. Now, what makes it easy for this grace of determination to build within us? Just look at the look at what he said leading up to determination. Number one, humble yourself, he said. So if you want to grow in the grace of determination, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. It's very important. One of the practical ramifications of that is to constantly acknowledge God
acknowledge him as God, and give him his place in your life. Humble yourself under his mighty hands. Acknowledge him as God and give him his place in your life. When you do that, immediately, you set the playing field. You set it right. You take your place, you give God his place. All right. Supernatural increase is a blessing from the Lord. It's not through my toiling. It's not by my ability. Now, I have my path. I know my path. But I humble myself under the Lord because he is the source that is going to bring that increase to pass in my life. So humble yourself under his mighty hand. Acknowledge him as God. Give him his place in your life. Number two, cast your cares upon him, Peter said. Cast all your cares upon him. You know how I interpreted this? Turn over to the Lord the things that are outside of your control and stop worrying about them. As you press forward, as you move forward, using all these things that the Lord has imparted to us with things that we've learned as we move forward to pursue increase in our future, there'll be so many things that are not under our control. So many things. You know what? You could do two things about these things that are not under your control. You could worry about them, worry yourself dry about those things, or you could turn all those things over to the Lord. You know what it means to turn over things to the Lord? Just to say, you know what, God, I give you this. You know, here you go. You are headed in the direction of increase. You are pressing. You are moving. You are doing everything you know, taking action, working with instruction. You have the vision. You are not settling. You have received knowledge. You are growing in knowledge. You have joy. Suddenly you hit a wall and you don't know what to do about it. Not under your control. What do you do? Lord, I give you this. This is yours to handle. You know exactly what Moses did with Pharaoh. Exactly what he did. Do you know every single time Moses heard no from Pharaoh, do you know what he did? Moses didn't go back home to cry. Back to the Lord. Lord, okay, I turn this Pharaoh over to you. I don't know what to do with this Pharaoh. I'm casting this care upon you. When you make it a habit to turn over your cares to the Lord, give things that are not within your control. There are some things that are not within your control. You may be working somewhere, your boss is acting funny. You may be running a business, some of the people or partners that are working with you on that business are acting silly. There might be things going on with the economy or things that are not under your control. What do? Turn it over to the Lord. That one, God, I can't handle that. I don't know what to do with it. Handle it, Lord. I give it to you. Now, what that means is I'm not going to worry about it. So you are not going to keep worrying about it. What do I need to do? How do I deal with it? Oh, what am I going to do? No. You've given it to the Lord. So, Lord, I give it to you. So I'm not going to touch it with my thought life. Lord, you handle it. I'm talking to you about how the grace of determination grows in your heart. Acknowledge God, give him his place, humble yourself under his mighty hands. Two, cast those cares upon him, turn over things that are not within your control over to him. Number three, be balanced and sound in your mind and in your thinking. Be balanced and sound in your mind. Remember, you did not receive a spirit of fear, so don't tolerate fear in your life. Remember, in 2 Timothy 1:7, say, we have not received the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. That's what we have. So be balanced and be sound in your mind and in your thinking. Make sure you focus your mind strong. Make sure your mind is focused strong on increase. Don't tolerate these thoughts of doubt and that we may never make it how we were. You know, just look at some, this person tried, they didn't get it how we. No. Focus your mind strong on increase. And finally, be determined. Be determined. The ability to be rooted, established, strong, immovable, that ability is a conscious determination. It's a conscious decision. Thank you, Lord. It's a conscious decision that you make. That decision becomes easy. If you are humble before the Lord, you give him his place and let him take his place. If you cast all your cares on him, turn over things you can't control over to him. If you are balanced and you focus your mind on increase and you refuse to tolerate fear and doubt and double-mindedness, determination comes easy. Let's close out. Be determined. Remember, increase is a right. It's a covenant right to God's covenant children. Determine I'm going to increase. Supernatural increase is God's promise to me. And I'm going to walk in the reality of it. Amen.